Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Thousands of years ago, there was a city called Sodom and a people called Gomorrah, and there were five surrounding cities. And the Word of God tells us that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire from heaven. And in the New Covenant, we are told that any city, any person, any people that would follow the example of Sodom and Gomorrah would experience the same judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, I come to you at this very moment with a very heavy heart. I am going to read an article that ought to break your heart, not because we are self-righteous, holier-than-thou people, but if this does not break your heart for what's going on in this world, I don't know what will. This is not something normal. We're not watching a sitcom. We're not watching, you know, just some dramatic movie that is disconnected from who we are. Ladies and gentlemen, landmark India ruling ends gay sex ban. We're talking about New Delhi. India's Supreme Court on Thursday, which is today, struck down a ban on gay sex after a decades-old campaign against a colonial-era law used to hold back LGBT rights. Members of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender groups held tearful celebrations in cities across the South Asian nation of 1.25 billion people as the historic verdict was read. Quote, the law had become a weapon for harassment for the LGBT community, said Chief Justice Deepak Misra, as he quashed the cornerstone of Section 377, a law introduced by British rulers in 1861. Any discrimination on the basis of sexuality amounts to a violation of fundamental rights, he added in the ruling, which added India to a list of more than 120 countries where homosexuality is decriminalized. While India's law only legalizes sexual acts between adults, gay activists have hailed the verdict as a major boost in the deeply conservative country, where religious groups have fiercely opposed any liberalization of sexual morality. Activists had been fighting the ban since the 1990s, suffering several court reverses before Thursday's verdict. The Delhi High Court decriminalized gay sex in 2009, but the Supreme Court reinstated the ban in 2014 after an appeal by religious leaders. According to official data, 2,187 cases under Section 377 were registered in 2016 under the category of unnatural offenses. 7 people were convicted and 16 acquitted. It was a law that propagated homophobia, said Kishaf Suri, one of the petitioners against Section 377, who organized a dance show at his family's luxury Delhi hotel to celebrate the court victory. In rural areas, it is a harassment tool used by cops, used by authorities for extortion, for glorifying rape and molestation, Suri told AFP in an interview ahead of the verdict. Many Indian gay professionals have moved to Canada and Europe, where they are more accepted, added the businessman who married his partner in Paris this year. Well, India's conservative government had opposed ending Section 377, but said ahead of the hearing that it would leave the decision to the wisdom of the Supreme Court. It had warned, however, that judges should not change other aspects of Indian law, such as the right to marriage. Long battle. Members of the LGBT community hugged each other and cried outside the Supreme Court in New Delhi as news of the verdict spread. I am speechless. It's taken a long time to come, but finally I can say I am free and I have equal rights as others, said Rama Vijay, a college student in Kolkata who gathered with others watching on television. Despite the pressure on the LGBT community, India has quietly made some strides in sexual rights in recent years. A transgender judge, Joyita Mandal Mahi, presides over courts in West Bengal state. Indian passports now state whether a holder is male, female, or other. And the city of Rigar, with 139,000 people, has a transgender mayor. Well, Suri's hotels are known for their gay-friendly discos, and more professionals are coming out to challenge the Indian establishment. Many say that gay marriage and equal rights and inheritance and other areas must be the ultimate prize, but they acknowledge that change will not be swift. This is the first step of the history of a lot of other countries that first decriminalized gay sex, allowed civil unions, and then marriage, said Suri. It is a long battle to equal rights, but I am sure we will get there eventually. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, if this does not break your heart for the loss of humanity, and there's 100, listen to this now, 120 countries on planet Earth have opened the door to homosexual marriages and homosexuality and gay sex and all of the perversion that goes along with it. Now, you top that and you add that to the sexual movement through pornography and the earth that we live in. I'm telling you, the conservatives are being overwhelmed by the progressive left and a global movement to sodomize the nations of the earth. And while some people think it's a political issue, what's really happening is that Nibiru and some other outer space comets, meteorites, or asteroids are being prepared and unsheathed from the armory of heaven, because God is not going to be mocked. I'm telling you, he will not be mocked. He can't be. But 120 countries, I guess everybody's thinking, well, the Lord hasn't done anything so far, so, you know, why would this be an important issue? 120 countries around the world. So we're not talking about localized and isolated issues where homosexuality is running rampant within society. We're talking about a global movement. Ladies and gentlemen, the perversion, the absolute immoral, unnatural perversion that is being promoted and propagated in societies around the world, damning the souls of individuals who are caught in the lifestyle that need salvation, that need deliverance. But the righteous lots better beware of the angels of God coming them and telling them to get out of these areas. Now, where do you go? I mean, where do you go? There are Goshens. I mean, if God can destroy Egypt, but have a remnant of land in Egypt that is known as a Goshen, well, that means that you and I need to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now in the Goshen of the Lord. And we need to be absolutely crystal clear where God's dome of protection is over the arcs that he is establishing around the world all these years. Do you think for 1 minute that the building of the arcs for the last 20 or 30 years has been in vain? There's no way that preparation has been in vain. There's no way that getting arcs ready was in vain. With this growing reality of this behavior that is being promoted in our societies and countries around the world, the human race is opening the door to the book of Revelation, to the asteroid shower, to the cometary shower, to the meteorite shower, some event that I believe we have been waiting at the threshold to see begin to come to pass. And I'm referring particularly once again to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. And I would like to read it one more time for all the individuals that are out there that want to know what's going to happen in the last days. And then you can absolutely justify what I'm about to read with the rest of Scripture. I mean, Jude and Peter both quoted that the Sodom and Gomorrah experience in the days of Lot is going to be repeated everywhere and anywhere where that same spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah would be. And, of course, it goes along with idleness of bread, proud hearts, but then the perversion that follows, obviously, is the sodomy reality. So, when God says the whole planet is in sin, the whole planet is becoming as Sodom and Gomorrah, 120 countries, that's a lot of countries. Those are many countries that are opening the door. So rather than raining down fire from heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah and the five cities surrounding that area, well, what is God's plan for planetary countries? I mean, come on. Around the world, 120 countries, what could God possibly be telling us to be cautious of? And again, I want to refer to Revelation 6:12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. You see, I have absolute perfect evidence that during the past 2,000 years since the book of Revelation was written, that the first five seals have already been opened. And I also know that nowhere in historical data has the sixth seal ever opened. And I happen to believe that God is a God of order, and he goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and that's the way it is. And when the five seals have opened, we're waiting for the sixth seal. And I happen to believe that the book of Revelation is an end time prophecy, and therefore believe that on 9/11/2001, the very first seal opened. And I believe that we have been witnessing for the last 17 years the opening of the seals, the four horses, the colors of Islam, the white, red, black, and green. That's the Middle Eastern Islamic colors around the world. And I believe those four horses have left the gate, and they're going to continue to ride till the very end. And the fifth seal is simply about those who are being martyred for their faith, the souls under the altar. So there's evidence of five seals, no doubt. If you want to take a historical view, you could find it there as well. But you cannot find the sixth seal. I believe the sixth seal has been reserved for a time where nations around the world would become Sodom and Gomorrah. And when you talk about raining fire down from heaven, listen to this. So I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Whether those stars be, I mean, they can't be actual stars. It would wipe out the planet. They're so big. But these stars are also known as messengers. These stars are also known as comets, meteorites, and asteroids. And so the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. And some people even know that they've been recognized as angels. So the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs. So in other words, when the stars, the comets, the asteroids, the Nibirus of our day, when these things begin to fall from heaven, this is a release of the armory of heaven, and it's going to happen like fig trees that are falling from the tree, casting their untimely figs. So this is going to be a rapid event acceleration. Many of these will happen when, okay, it's talking about the fig tree, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Oh, yes, dear friends, the mighty wind. And you'll see in Revelation chapter 7, there are four winds that will blow. And these winds are literally going to take place in the heavens first, just like that spiritual battle of Revelation 12 between Michael and his angels and the devil and his angels. We know it fights first in the spiritual realm and then manifests on Earth. These winds will blow in the heavens. They will release these asteroids, comets, or meteorites, and then we will see them make landfall. Verse 14, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Listen now. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now, every mountain and every island were moved out of their places is referring to that massive earthquake. We know that the mountain of Japan was moved in that earthquake in 2011. We know that other earthquakes have actually moved landmass. We know that the continents were brought about by massive earthquakes in Genesis chapter 10. So verse 15 says, while all this is happening, this great shaking, this time of the heavens, I mean, something big in the sixth seal is coming upon the nations. And what does it say? The kings, not the king, singular, but the kings, plural, of those 120 countries and around and about, the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chieftains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, not to kill us, but to hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You know, the world rulers understand that this day is coming. They understand the wrath of the Lamb. The kings of the earth will know that the day of his wrath, God's wrath, that will begin in the opening of the sixth seal, is going to proceed into Revelation chapter 7. You want to look a little deeper into this issue. And what I'm saying is that sixth seal lines up perfectly with God's response to the nations of the earth going in the direction into complete and total defiance and rebellion against him, against the laws of nature, against the laws of nature's God, against the laws of morality, against the laws of God himself. And so when the nations are in this kind of rebellion, and now we see in New Delhi, we see in India, we see the homosexual community cheering in tears and celebrating. And so what are you getting? You're getting a drumbeat. You're getting a mantra from around the world. The homosexual rising of Sodom and Gomorrah. The spirit is here again. And Jesus said in the last days, it would be like the days of Lot. We always hear about the days of Noah, but these are the days of Lot. Ladies and gentlemen, we are there. We are there. And we don't know how more this is going to grow, how exponential this is going to grow. All we know is that we are there. And I wonder what the nations are doing. I mean, we're watching Brett Kavanaugh go through his process. So everybody's thinking, well, Brett Kavanaugh is going to get into the Supreme Court. And the big hope is that Brett Kavanaugh is going to change Roe versus Wade. Now, I thought Roberts was also elected into the Supreme Court, and he was supposed to be in defense of life, but he did not vote the right way in both the homosexual issue and some other issues when they came up to the Supreme Court. So the expectation of the people is that Brett Kavanaugh is going to go into the Supreme Court and replace a head of power, and he's going to turn the tide, and that all of a sudden abortion is going to be ending, and then he's going to actually help others to overturn the laws of sodomy and homosexual marriage and lesbian marriage when 120 nations are forcing in that direction, and the momentum is very powerful. Ladies and gentlemen, if that were to ever happen, you would see a revolution and anarchy. My God, I don't know why people are putting their hope in men, why people are putting their hope in a government that's about to be decapitated. I don't know why Christians are putting their hope in the powers of mankind rather than the power of God. If our nation is not called to confession and repentance, you can be sure that we are going the way of all other civilizations and empires that have gone before us, including the Roman Empire and every other empire. It is now in its last stages. It has just exceeded expectation and acceleration into the mess that we're in right now. Hey, I'm brokenhearted about it. I just can't believe that the Supreme Court in India just opened the door into 120 countries. And I believe that as God said, he would deal with those who practice such things. Let me, if just in case you're not aware of these scriptures, let me go and read them first of all in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to pick it up in verse 4. 2 Peter 2, 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Oh, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Ladies and gentlemen, God said it right there. Sodom and Gomorrah, making them an example unto those that after should live this ungodly lifestyle. I mean, this is not, you know, an easy thing here. This is the word. And if that's not enough, just cruise on over to the right a little bit to the book of Jude, right before the book of Revelation. And Jude warns his generation and says this, and I'll just pick it up in verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, men with men, women with women, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Ladies and gentlemen, God's word will not be mocked. You know that and I know that. But what's so sad about this is that this is where God tells Lot, you better get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. You better go to the mountains. And Lot says, I don't want to go to the mountains. So he provides him another place to go. There's a time that you have to come out and you have to recognize the times. And when you see articles like these, where these poor Indian people are now rushing headlong into what they call a victory and a celebration, and then you bad conservative Christians, you bigots, you white racists, you conservatives, you horrible people, you out there that stand for morality, that stand for natural laws, that stand for the laws of God, you're the troublers of this world. We need to get rid of you people, you conservative, wretched people. We want the devil to come and be our God in this world. We want to worship him and dance to him and glorify him. We don't want your little Jesus. We don't want your little Yahweh. If Yahweh was so tough, he'd have done something about it long ago. And we just want the devil, Lucifer, because we love what Lucifer can give to us, and we hate you conservatives. We hate you people. I mean, that's what you're hearing. That's what's going on. That's the truth. So my question to the people that are listening today, when is the signal going to be heard? Come out of her, my people. Get rid of your cell phones. Shut down your computers. Get off the air. Get off the grid. Learn how to live outside of the grid. When will that call come to pass? I mean, God told Noah, enter into an ark. God told Lot, get out of the city. You know, God, Jesus warned his generation, flee into the wilderness, flee to the mountains. When is our generation going to hear the call? When is our generation going to hear the sound of a trumpet to get into Goshen? I don't know where you're listening to this broadcast from, but there are 120 countries on this planet right now that have gone the way of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the United States of America has boldly offended the Almighty God and led the way into the corruption and the perversion of these ills. The blood is on our hand, ladies and gentlemen. The blood is on this nation's hands. And I appreciate everybody really hoping for the Jesuit that's connected to a president who's a Jesuit and who is also connected to a pope who's a Jesuit. And I know all the Jesuits are trying to deal with all these issues. And hopefully the Jesuits are, you know, wanting to do something good and right. But when I read my Bible, it's Jesus Christ that's going to open the sixth seal. And it's Jesus Christ that's going to tell the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the mighty men, hey, my day of wrath is coming upon the nations for what you've allowed and the way you've lived and conducted yourselves. My day of wrath is coming. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're not a voice for the day of wrath and you're not hoping that the sixth seal opens to put an end to the nightmare that's growing around the world, then what are you doing? What are you doing? Man, the last time I checked, when a serial killer is on the loose and he's in your neighborhood, you want him to get caught. But why don't we want God's righteous judgment and the wrath of the Lamb to deal with the corruption, the defiance, the rebellion that has created an environment that you can't even breathe in? And yet we don't resist it. We don't call it forth. We don't prophesy it. We don't pray it. We don't hasten the day of the Lord, because somebody in the Old Testament said, woe to those who desire the day of the Lord. That is not what he's talking about. What we want is the criminality against God to cease. And we say, oh, well, that is going to cease when Brett Kavanaugh becomes the next Supreme Court justice, because then in time he's going to overturn these laws. And you really think it's going to be that way? Yes? All right. So between now and his advancement into the Supreme Court, we'll see how much time it takes to overturn the abortion laws. We'll see how much time it takes to put away homosexual marriage, homosexual sin, and rewrite the psychological mindset when God's word says evil men will wax worse and worse in the last days. I just wonder if people's hope is a little bit misplaced in believing that governmental powers and men that are going to go and they're going to rewrite the psychology in the last days, when everything written about the last days tends towards an immoral acceleration? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the God of this world has deceived the nations of the earth. No, if you're going to look through the biblical lens, you need to know that there'll be 1,000 at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. You need to be in the dwelling place and know that those asteroids, those comets, those meteorites, those earthquakes, those tornadoes, those volcanoes, those hurricanes, those, you know, all these things, that the natural order of the universe is being shaken. The heavens, the power of the heavens is being shaken. The earth is going into a speed wobble, if you will, because of its own acceleration into darkness. And where is this all, you know? I just can't believe that we live in a world where this is happening so quickly in one generation. This didn't exist a generation ago. This did not exist a generation ago. Think about it. There weren't 120 countries advocating for homosexual marriage and gay sex and the liberation. A generation ago, there was no legal abortion. A generation ago, come on. In one generation, an acceleration beyond the speed of light, it appears, has brought us to nearing 7 billion people on the planet. And we always hear about the people that have their population control agenda. Well, it sounds to me like God has his own population control agenda. And it sounds to me like God's going to pour out his wrath and the wicked are going to be swept away and the righteous are going to remain in the land. I read my Bible, and I hope you read your Bible too. Man, I think maybe we all need to read it a little bit more. But do you remember those winds that are going to shake the fig tree? They're found in the next chapter of Revelation chapter 7. But I'd like to defer right now and open the telephone lines to those of you that may be listening. Maybe you have a question or a comment, and maybe you are a believer that Kavanaugh is going to be elected and that everything is going to change and that God's word just was not for this hour. And all the signs of the times really were just coincidences. I don't know. Number to call is 818-369-0326, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on the dial pad. Now, on a conversation like this, you normally don't get a lot of people going, yeah, I want to get into that conversation. Because most people, they don't want to hear this. They don't want to hear about comets, asteroids, fireballs from heaven, destroying cities around the world, or massive earthquakes that are going to move every mountain and island out of their place. I mean, they don't want to hear that. They want to symbolize that. They want to, make this a parable or an allegory or of some sort. People don't want to hear that it's time to give up the cell phone, get off the computer, turn the TV off, find a place, get off the grid. No, because that's hard. But do you know what? 100 years ago, that's exactly what people did. Well, maybe not 100 years ago. Maybe about 150 years ago, maybe 200 years ago, before the technological explosion, people lived, old people, young people, married couples, they lived without TV, they lived without computer, they lived without cell phone, they lived without cars, they lived without airplanes. They lived. They ate. They drank. They married. They had families. Only our generation has become so dependent on technology that we are terrified to let it go. Because we think somehow this technology is helping our cause. I've been on radio since 2002. What has it done? What has it afforded other than reaching out to someone that they've had a chance to hear? Certainly hasn't done anything personally to increase the value of my life. Do you know that the experts are actually saying, and you remember those numbers came out with the electromagnetic pulse, the EMP, and it just may be when these falling stars come, we might have an EMP more than we've ever dreamed. But you know what they were saying? In the first 30 days, over 30 million people in America would be dead. That the elderly, the people in hospitals would be dead through the violence. There'd be so many dead people, and then it would just continue on and around the world. You see, God's Revelation chapter 6, sixth seal, seems to have the power to knock out power on earth. And even the kings of the earth run and hide in their bunkers. God has his own ability to shut things down whenever he chooses. And I'm just saying, when we read articles like in New Delhi, India, where all these people are cheering because now they could be homosexual, You got to understand that's a sign of the times. When do we hear the sound of the trumpet? Because I happen to know that even if God was shouting from heaven today, give up your phones, get away from the computer, shut your TVs down, move to your ark, go off the grid, turn the electricity off, shut down the water from the city. Virtually, zero people would actually do it. And so it makes me believe that the only thing that is going to afford God's people coming out was like in Egypt, the night before they left, they had an experience with God. The day before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, the very morning, God got Lot out. The last seconds in Nazi Germany before the Hitler Empire came to bear upon 6 million Jews and slaughter them, a few people made it out. The last second. So it appears to me that, like Jesus said, they'll be buying and selling, building and planting, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Until the day. When are we going to hear the sound of the trumpet? When is the voice of God going to say to the people, now, move now, and them obey? Think about it. Think about it. Some people are just beginning their life. Wait a second. My kids are just going to college right now. Wait a second. I'm just started a new job. I just bought a new house. I just have, you know, I got a new car. I just entered into a new marriage. Well, aren't these all the excuses that were made when Jesus had invited everybody to the Feast of Tabernacles or the great wedding feast that was prepared, and they all began to make excuses why they couldn't come and do what God told them to do? Well, what other excuses are people going to make to give up their cell phones and their TVs and their computers and their ministries? How many of us could really walk away when we hear God say, now? Lines are open. 818-369-0326. Would love to hear from you this morning. I, honest to God, did not come on the radio today with these thoughts and ideas prepared from last night or the week before. I looked at an article today, and the Holy Spirit just unctions me. Maybe you need to calm me down. Maybe there's somebody out there that needs to calm me down and say, hey, Pastor Vincent, chill out. We're getting ready for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God is about to transform the earth, and everything good is coming. All kinds of great stuff is coming. All the great stuff is on the way. It's just another day. We just got to wait it out one more day. I know people that have been waiting for things to happen for over 20 years, and while they've been waiting, they haven't been doing much. And so there's just, you know, Pastor, just give it another day. God's promise, there's going to be a financial wealth explosion all over the world. We're all going to get rich. We're all going to get what we want. And it's all going to be good. And so let's not shut things down yet because we're waiting for these great. I mean, maybe you need to just straighten me out today. But the more I look at what's going on in the world and the more I read my Bible, I'm starting to think, you know what? That sounds like a false hope to me. That sounds like a false hope. I think God is more interested in the production of the fruitfulness in the lives of the people that call him Lord. I believe that's more important to God than getting a bunch of money to people is how much fruit do we have in our lives? How much have we surrendered? How much of a cross have we picked up? How much flesh have we crucified? How dead to ourselves and into this world are we? Love not the world, neither the things in the world, including its technology. The commandments are there, and we're going to be asked that day, what part didn't you understand? Come on, somebody, straighten out Pastor Vince. He needs balance, right? He needs balance. I want to know when the day comes. When the day comes. When the day comes. Are you going to be disappointed when everybody runs into the ark, when everybody runs into the mountains, and everybody gets to Goshen, and all of a sudden the world isn't going to give you what they said? The world's not going to give you the money. The world's not going to give you all the stuff. And the only way you're going to be able to operate in the world is by receiving a mark of the beast. And how desirous of the things of the world are you that would actually compel you to take the mark so you could finally have what you wanted your whole life but never got? And all the only thing that God's afforded you is a place in the wilderness to be taken care of because you happen to be a remnant of genuine believers. Let's take our first call coming in from area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'm calling to straighten out something, but it isn't you, Vince, and it's the churches and the people.
Okay.
You better just keep preaching what you're preaching, because that's what the people need to hear. And we have too many deaf ears not hearing it, and too many preachers that are not preaching it. And you better keep doing what you're doing, because that's what the Lord needs you to do, because there's very few like you. So keep it up. And as far as the people that are listening, they better open their ears and start listening and get straightened out.
Thank you for the comment. I appreciate that. What are your thoughts about this article in New Delhi? How does that touch your heart, Ken, to hear that the Supreme Court of India in New Delhi area has opened the door to the homosexual advancement? How does that make you feel that these poor people that are, first of all, caught in the lifestyle, they need Jesus. The Supreme Court needs to promote something that the people will love, that Jesus Christ loves them, and yet they're being darkened and blinded by the God of this world and the powers that be, and they're going headlong into eternal damnation. How does that make you feel?
Well, it turns out that what is going on right now is not in the U.S. It's getting to the point where it's going worldwide. And as far as America has almost been like a leader for the world, and what we do is okay or correct. And that definitely is not true when it comes to what's happening in the world today, because they should not follow us. They should continue to follow the Bible.
Well, amen to that. Amen to that. Well, I certainly appreciate your call, and you're right. We have so much blood on our hands because the blind leaders are leading the blind masses into the proverbial ditch. And it's a darkened day. And if God's people do not turn their full attention back to God, into the scriptures, and if we can't recognize, for example, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days, Ken, do you believe we're in the last days?
Every day we're one day closer than we were the day before. I'm not going to say what day it's happening. There's been too many of those predictions already, but I do agree that we are one day closer, and yes, I feel that we are very close to the last days. The other thing is as far as our politicians, and I am not heavy into politics, but I see what's going on right now, and I mean, we need to pray for our leaders of our country, such as the new Supreme Court judge they're trying to appoint, our president, our country, because without that and without God, we are lost. We need to get our country straightened out, but we also need to get our churches and our people back into the teaching of the word.
Amen to that. I totally agree. And yes, you know, I make a point because I'm so cautious that even the elect can be deceived. So I make a point about Donald Trump having Jesuit ties, Kavanaugh having Jesuit ties, the Pope being a Jesuit, the first ever. So I just put that out there as kind of a, you know, you can't trust anybody explicitly except the Lord Jesus, because all men are fallible, which Mr. Kavanaugh said yesterday. Nobody is perfect. We all make mistakes. So. But there's a line there that I'm just interested in, that I'm reserving my judgment in that sense. But yes, we need to pray for President Trump. Yes, we need to pray for good people to get on the Supreme Court. Yes, we can do that. I agree. But Ken, it also says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in last days perilous times shall come. And perilous is very interesting. It is a Greek word, kalipos. And the word kalipos literally means through the idea of reducing the strength. Wow. The idea of reducing the strength. In other words, in the last days, the strength of the people of God is going to be reduced to be able to stand against what is coming down the pike. And this is also found in Daniel, that the saints will lose their strength in the tribulation. They'll be overcome. And so The last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Man, is that a problem today?
And what I've seen in my lifetime, I mean, I can't believe how far down the wrong road we've gone. I don't know where that why was when it all started as far as going down this road, which road we took that was at the wrong why. But we are definitely a long ways down that road, and if we don't get it straightened out, we're never going to get back on the right road again, because it's not our government that's going to get us there. It's our faith in God, our salvation in His Son. And if we cannot live by that, I'm beginning to wonder, is there such a thing as the Ten Commandments anymore? I mean, if you're going to start with the basic, where are the Ten Commandments? And we don't even have that anymore.
No, because the Ten Commandments demand every human being to acknowledge that there is a God.
That's right.
When this says in 2 Timothy that for men shall be lovers of their own selves, that phrase there is from a Greek word, philautos, and it literally means one who is fond of self, i.e. selfish, or one that is too intent on their own interest. So we live in a world where everybody's interest is for themselves. What is the best thing for me? What do I want? And yet every one of us were created to serve what God wants. We're not even supposed to have our will engaged. I mean, if Vincent Xavier and Ken wanted to, Ken Bruns wanted to, you know, live on planet Earth doing what we want to do, we would probably be doing something different than listening to this radio broadcast or speaking in this radio broadcast about the Bible and the end times. If our own will was engaged, which is a selfish, self-centered will, we would only go out and live for ourselves. We wouldn't preach the end. We'd preach our best life now. We would go and do everything we wanted to do. And that's what the world is doing. And Christians are moving in that direction and are stuck in it as well.
That's right. I ended up, I've lived half my life not even knowing that there was such a word or knowing what it meant. And that is the word narcissist. And as of right now, the last half of my life, I see it growing. And the first half, I didn't even know there was such a thing as a narcissist. We didn't have any in my family, let's put it that way. I mean,
a different generation. You know, Ken, the next word in there, where men are lovers of their own selves, they are covetous. Listen to the definition of covetousness according to the Greek. It is a word that is philarguros, and it actually means loving money or fond of silver, avarice, or an avaricious appetite. So covetousness is about loving money. Now, isn't the love of money the root of all evil?
The love of it, yes. There's nothing wrong with money, but the love of it is wrong.
Yes, and that's what the word covetous is there, is loving money, fond of silver, and I would imagine gold as well. And so this is a problem. This is what the world is going after. Everything's about the economy. It's money, 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 money. Well, the next thing he says is that they are boasters. This is in the last days. And a boaster is an alazone, Sounds like a calzone, but this is an alazone. And it means an empty pretender, a boaster. A braggart. Now,
well, and the love of money is not just money, it's the material things that it can buy. And so many people today are into the things that money can buy, and it will not buy happiness, it will not buy salvation, it will not buy peace, it will not buy health.
You know, you're exactly right about that. And here I want to just, here's a word of caution. I could get rebuked on this. Everybody can rebuke me for what I'm about to say. But as I'm looking at these definitions about in the last days, these perilous times will come. In other words, a weakening and a diminishing of the strength of God's people. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Okay, we read about that one. They love themselves. They're covetous. They love money and silver. They're boasters, which means a braggart. or a boaster in this case here. Now, I'm thinking about the leader of our nation, Donald J. Trump. He's a very wealthy man. There's no doubt that he brags and is boastful. And again, I'm just bringing this up. The next one on the list is proud. And again, what I'm cautioning people, if they have their eyes on a man, and I use this as an example. I mean, everybody knows that Donald Trump is a boastful. He's a boastful, proud, wealthy man. And he's moving forward and he's leading millions of people. His influence is leading millions of people. And we just need to make sure that we're following the right spirit here, because the next thing he talked about was being proud. Now, Ken, does that offend you by me saying that in all sincerity?
No, it does not offend me, but I do look at it in two different ways. Those things are him personally, and then what he is doing in Washington, and that is trying to clean out the swamp, is okay, in my opinion. And so it turns out that Donald Trump is going to be in Sioux Falls this coming Friday, and he is going to be here to help support, to try to get the right governor in. But it turns out that, back to what we were just talking about, we have never had a leader that is perfect. And I feel that Donald Trump has more failures than some, but I do know there's some that had more failures than him. So I do not put my trust or my faith in a man. And I do not like some of the things that he does and some of the things that he says, but I do feel that he's waking some of the people up. Hopefully he can continue to do that if he is in the office that he's in, but I do not put my trust in Donald Trump. I do pray for the, not necessarily Donald Trump, I pray for his family, I pray for him, but the main thing that I pray for is the office that he holds.
That's really good. Yeah, I agree with that. And I just lost a thought here I wanted to share. But yes, I happen to agree with that. And I hope that that office will serve in bringing and restoring righteousness in the land. And that may be about the Supreme Court appointments. And I want to do something right now. Pastor Ken is calling in on the broadcast. Let's bring him into the conversation with us. You could stay on the line. Good morning, Pastor Ken Wagner. How are you today, sir?
Well, good morning, Pastor. We are doing just fine. Praise the Lord.
Say hello to Ken. Say hello to the other Ken. I got two Kens on the phone with me.
We got two Kens. Ken's got to be a good name. Got to be a good name. Anyway, my thoughts kind of went this way this morning, listening to you. You're going to have people that are going to say he doesn't know what he's talking about. The agenda that's on here today about the final times. Others are going to say, well, maybe he's right. And others will say, I know he's right. Now, the question, of course, I want to ask is, what are you doing about it? Are you preparing? And how are you preparing? You know, I think of those people that have said, nah, no way, it's never going to happen that way. Well, what about the next tornado? What about the next earthquake or cyclone or catastrophic disaster or the fires and things that are all going on? People weren't prepared for them. They said, nah, never happened. But boy, they lost everything they had because of those things that have gone on. And for those who are in the middle ground saying, well, maybe, well, I look at it this way, too. We had World War II, and we said in World War II, the United States, well, we're not going to get into that war. And then Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, and we were in the war. And a lot of people had to really cut back and suffer a lot and give up a lot of things because of it, because they weren't ready. They hadn't prepared. And that's what I see coming down. For the other people that say, I know it's coming, well, they should be prepared already. They should have their prayer lives in order. They should have anything else that they think that they're going to need and begin to do the things that you've been talking about to do. But it's really up to each individual. And there's the last thought I would say in this particular thing on here even if you think it's a possibility on here, you need to get ready. Even if you, Pastor Vincent, were wrong about all the things you said, even if they got prepared and they are ready, they will be able to hit anything that comes at them that way. So why not get ready? Why not begin to do the things that we need to do to prepare for these onslaughts?
Well, it's a great point, and I think that's the conversation we've had. Do you believe, do you gentlemen believe that it is a proper attitude for a Christian living in the world today to disdain everything this world could offer? In other words, what I'm getting at is, if Christians would begin to disdain what the world is distracting them with, and we would begin to look to God for everything that we have, that our provision comes from the Lord, that we begin to look at money and systems of the world and say, you know what, we're not dependent on you, what you could give us. We're not going to be distracted. We're not going to sell out. We're not going to be lukewarm and compromised because of what the world could give us. My joy, contentment, and satisfaction comes from the Lord alone. I don't need anything other than the Lord. Is it okay to develop that hatred for what is evil, which the Word of God tells us to do, and to literally begin to walk around this earth with the understanding that you people that are in control right now are not going to be in control? There's a righteous government of God coming to this earth. We, the ecclesia, the church of Jesus Christ, are going to take the control and the power. And right now, we don't care what you could offer us in your Sodom and Gomorrah system, your Babylonian system, your Egyptian empire. We don't need what you have. We're just content living in Goshen, depending on God, and thriving in the promises and the presence of God. Is that okay?
Go ahead, Ken.
I would say that most of the time it takes persecution or hard times or pressure for people to wake up and see what's going on. And that is not happening yet. And there's a certain amount of people that are feeling that, but it's very, very few. So as far as until they feel the pressure of persecution or financial failure or whatever it is. It's just like when people get sick, boy, do they pray. But if they're healthy, most of the time, we do not pray for our health. We don't thank God for the things that are given to us by Him, and don't give the credit to doctors and things like that. And I mean, there's good doctors, all that, but what we need is to end up go through something quite often ourselves before we end up get to being what you're just talking about.
Yeah, too hoity-toity. You know, I believe that the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, the two witnesses, you know, gentlemen, I believe they're going to be hated by Christians. Because those two witnesses are going to be calling fire down from heaven and striking the earth with plagues. And I believe that Christians are so set up to have everything in order. Don't rock my boat. I've worked so hard to get where I am. And even though the two witnesses are striking the earth for their corruption, and Christians have learned to live on the inside of it, it's kind of like Lot's wife. She had so much affection. She looked back. Nobody wanted to leave. I just wonder how those two witnesses are going to fare in the face of a compromise in lukewarm Christianity. And I want to thank both of you for joining me on the air today. I've run out of time. Patricia Joy Xavier is coming up next. We could talk more about this, Lord willing, but I do need to let you know that we will not be on the air tomorrow, Monday, or Tuesday. We will be back on the air next Wednesday with Daniel Seckham. And the next couple of days, we will be off the air. And we just want to bid you farewell, and we are going to, Lord willing, be seeing you next Wednesday here in the mornings, and we will on Sunday, and we will next Wednesday also be on Kerm Radio. But this is our family here on the Omega Radio Network. We're up next right now, Patricia Joy Xavier. She is running to the microphone. She's ready to go. There's a roar in her heart. Patricia Joy, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. Are you ready to go today?
Hello, hello, hello.
Who have received Jesus Christ as their true Messiah, and for Christians who have received Jesus Christ as their true Messiah, the anointed one, gathered together as one new man on the earth, they are going to be brought into the wilderness, protected for a time, a time in a time. And I am knowing that this is the way God's going to work. He's going to protect us absolutely. Some believe we're going to be raptured out of here before the great wrath of God. And, if that's the case, then that's what happens. I believe we're going to go through the first portion of the tribulation. And then the most serious part of it is because in the beginning of it, I believe that's where the harvest is going to come from. But the last part of it, I believe you're going to go for the last 3.5 years into the wilderness where we are taken care of. Satan will come after us, but the earth will open up and his filth will be brought right into the earth. The word of God tells us that. So we are going to be in our place of Goshen where we will be kept well. And believe me, much is going to be dependent on whether or not you have been a tither, whether or not you have been a giver. If you've been a tither, there is words in the scriptures in many portions, Old and New Testament, where God will take care of you in the time of great tribulation or in the time of darkness, deep darkness in this earth. When tribulation comes, we will be taken care of because we did what was right, and God is going to honor that right. He's going to honor what we did. In that time, he is going to bring us into a place of great safety. So what do we do in the meantime? In the meantime, we get purified. Now, we have already been justified, but we have to learn how to stay free from the works of the evil one. And we have to learn how to be cleansed in our spirit, mind, and body by the blood of the Lamb. That'll come through faith and obedience. Trust and obey. There is no other way. And so because of the danger of the times that we are in, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And what is being said here is that we are to keep his commandments. And what his commandments to us is to love the Lord our God with all our heart and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And in Matthew 22:36-39, in other words, if you truly love with the love of God, you fulfill all the law and all the commandments, and you do for others what you would do for yourself. And Jesus said in John 8:28-29, I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. I always do what pleases him. And what pleases him, body of Christ, is to keep all of his commandments. Jesus knew the importance of keeping God's commandments. We also need to understand the paramount importance of keeping God's commandments. We should, as Jesus did, ask about each decision we make. Ask him. Ask God about every decision we make. We will be amazed at how much he will begin to direct our lives into production and perfect love. And perfect love will cast out all our fear, and much fear is in the heart of man now, and fear will desecrate a heart. Fear will destroy. It is for this reason that Jesus was able to walk a sinless life. We can do it also. Always keep in mind that he was a mortal man made with flesh and blood, just like we are. And he faced all of the same temptations. Folks, we are in the latter days, and Satan is bringing forth every enforcement of his host of devils. And the scriptures tell us that he knows his days are numbered. This is why drugs and other perversions of alcoholism, if it is that, to the degree where it's hurting you, and every kind of thing that is going on that is prevalent today that is deadly is on a great move to destroy. And the Lord showed me in the spirit that he is starting to close his gate very slowly. Soon it will be shut, and no man will be able to enter in. And that is what will be taken out of the way, is the work of the Holy Spirit to move and to make a difference. But the great harvest will come first. We're there. We're coming into it. And what I just told you is in Matthew 25:10. I believe in these last days, God is raising up a mighty army to storm the enemy strongholds and free the captives in the mighty name of Jesus. I believe that we, as well as others, are being raised up for a time such as this to arm the believers with the word of God and to allow us, by his strength, to help lead the way in the final attack on old Satan. Come on, we have been given the ability to do so. We have been given the right to do so. We will not set back. Our ministry of deliverance is a fulfillment of prophecy. It's been given to us, and I'll tell you, it happened 5 years before the ministry even began. And I believe it is a prophecy not just for ourselves, but for the church that is awakening to the sound of the trumpet call of God. Do you hear the trumpet call? Do you hear him blowing the trumpet? Is our president the last trump? And then we will see all hell break loose. The words of prophecy, which was spoken over us by Carrie Bolt in a service on May 16, 1982, which happens to be my sister's birthday, was at Faith Center in Escondido. And here's what it said. And I want you to clearly hear what it says, because this is the way we have been moving by the Spirit, because it's been fulfilled in our lives. Here is what the prophecy said. Praise God, you've got a beautiful spirit, both of you. And the Spirit of the Lord would say this unto you, I have called you even as a beautiful candle that would burn on the mantelpiece of the home, a beautiful home. And I have called you as that candle. And you will burn, and you will shine, and that wax that would melt, that would drip down the side, is the anointing of God that would spill over unto other people. Yes, the anointing of God. And the flame that I have called to burn in you as candles of the Lord will ignite other flames, and it shall grow into a bonfire, saith God. A bonfire of deliverance and salvation, and many things shall happen. The anointing of the evangelist shall rest upon you, even that which is happening in the earth today in a new way. For I am not calling you these things according to traditional concepts, but I am speaking unto you in the concept of what I am doing today. And I have given you a special ability to bring people kingdom, and you shall do it, even as those in the early church operated from day to day, as they went about their business, even those miracles of God happen, and as you go about your business, saith the Lord, miracles will happen. The business of the kingdom will be transacted in your lives, and many people shall stand and say, thank you for your ministry, thank you for being courageous, thank you for being obedient. I am basking in the love of God because of you. And this is just the beginning. The candle flame is flickering now, but it shall burst into a large flame and consume the work of the enemy. And it shall start in Jerusalem, and it shall burn to Judea and Samaria, and it shall continue to burn, saith the Lord, for I am starting in your home and in your house. And I am burning away the work of the enemy, and the fire of God is being established in those places. And that was the end of the prophecy. It was quite a prophecy, body of Christ. And every word of it has been fulfilled, even to starting in our home, into even a candle on the mantle of the homes in which we began our fellowship. See, we were home fellowships until we expanded and went out. And everything that has been said in this prophetic utterance has happened to our lives. Now, there has been another word that was given regarding the deliverance ministry. Go into a serious time of intercessory prayer and pray two ways. One, that you will be used mightily by God through his instructions by the Holy Spirit to go forth within this ministry. From what I have viewed within the body of Christ, this prophecy is saying, I believe that after our salvation, after receiving the free gift that Jesus has offered, it is of paramount importance that we allow ourselves the freedom to grow to the level of maturity we are called to. So I ask you to pray. And if ever the following words were true, it is now, folks. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. To beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Beseech them. I believe we are now in days that are to be the last moments of this time. We need laborers in the field. And the following is a word of prophecy brought forth through another deliverance ministry. So the word of God, awake from your religious slumber. You who have been given so much and have been entrusted with such awesome responsibility, I'm talking to you. Your time for accountability is at hand. You who have been charged to lead toward glory have been visiting perdition upon your charges. Awake. Open your eyes to the counsel of God. Jesus is the light upon the mantle. Follow his way. It has been clearly marked. Look anew upon your anointing. Examine the fruits of your labor. Jesus came so that man could be free. And I have commissioned you to follow after him. He pointed the way. Awake, O teachers, awake. Our prayer is that you receive and claim it with us. May God richly bless you. And another word that came forth is, oh God, how beautiful is your creation, the mountains, the trees, the grass, and the flowers. You want to take it and bring all inside yourself. You cannot take it all in, for it is all too splendid. Colors and shadows and composition of absolute peace hanging like a three-dimensional portrait in a soft, graceful breeze. The sound of music engulfs me. Man, with his ability to perceive, takes what was generously and freely given, and with tending brings back the garden. And yet, Eden is not fulfilled until peace endures within. Do you want this peace to endure within you? I wrote a book called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, so that that very thing would happen unto you. Please. If you have not yet received it, go to Amazon and purchase it, because in Amazon, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights has been written. It is there for you to purchase. I tell you, it'll bless you. It'll bring peace within you. I have heard it from many who have read the book. In my limited mind and vocabulary, I somehow know that love is the essence of what I see. It is eternal. Only our limitations within our soul stops the ever-expanding glory that we as man have been granted. We disturb it in our confusion, distressed by fear. All things have been granted. All things are possible with the spirit of truth. Man may fly, build, produce, unlimited. What marvel, what a gift. Do we understand this power? Do we understand this magnificence? Or do we console ourselves with mundane and the trivial until there is nothing left for us to imagine? Our comprehension becomes nil until all that can be felt and experienced is death and death alone. From such doom we have been delivered. From such a destiny we have been saved. Opportunity is given to all men. He alone can determine his fate. He may rise up as an eagle with the wind of knowledge, as a man of great understanding. He may determine his freedom and choose to reign, governs our hearts, weighing all things righteously. Man has no excuse, no complaints. His life is his own. Blessed or cursed, will he choose life? The one who gave all, will he recognize his heritage, his loyal ancestry? If he does, he will solve the mysteries and refresh his tired bones again. He will overcome and belong again. He will know he has everything and is more than he thought he'd be. His power will surge without ceasing, now and worlds to come. His creator and father will lead him. Endless life, reconciled and redeemed by only he who would save, Jesus Christ. Blessed be all who hear and understand now, forevermore. To God be the glory. Body of Christ, that word was given to me. And I never, never really realized till now how truthful it is. Are we going to rise up to receive our destiny? Are we going to be among those who will climb that high mountain? And will we understand that deliverance belongs to us? Paul, the apostle, cautioned the Ephesians that they fight not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of this present darkness, rulers of an unseen world and many wicked spirits. The same is true for Christians today. The question is, and I've asked you before, do you find yourself oppressed and depressed, with wounds so deep and pain so fierce that your spiritual life is crippled? Do you read the Bible, pray, and seek counsel seemingly without relief? If you feel that your fight is spiritual battle with little or no success, something may have invaded you, putting you into a state of confusion. The problem may be the ecology into spiritual warfare. You see, the devil has no legal right to the Christian, but it is up to the Christian to defend his rights, for which Christ has already paid. God offers deliverance, folks. The Holy Spirit enlightens Christians of their rights, but not all believers understand those rights. They often don't know they are already victorious. Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, informs you of your rights to be a believer. Learn how to execute and fight for your rights, not in the courtrooms of this world, but in the courthouse of heaven. Do you believe this is for you? Do you believe that God has given you this wisdom to move on into your high place? Before I went into deliverance, I understood there were many things wrong in the church. I understood that there were strongholds, and Satan and his cohorts were able to vex people in the church. And I prepared my heart to desire deliverance. it helped me discover that beneath the rough exterior of a troubled life was a sincere person in the truth of God's love, and I was to help them. This helped me to love myself again. Many of you don't know your destiny, but you need to understand that it is written out before you. We on Omega Radio Station are trying to show you that your destiny is in the work you do now, because we are in the end times, and it must have been destined for you to be here at this time, and it must be your destiny to fulfill the work that you are called to do, and that is to love God with all your heart. Love yourself, because you cannot love your neighbor as you love yourself unless you do. It is your destiny to become part of the army of God. You see, people need to understand the new way that is coming forth now. We can't think of people as no good. We have to begin to think of people as God's creation. To look at what the evil demonic influences have done to them. And this gave me compassion for people and a willingness to pray for them and bring the knowledge to them. They don't have to be in bondage to unhappiness. Too many are. Too many are. What a blessing these studies are. I hope that you enjoy them. I want to continue with them as much as possible. We need your help to do so. I want to begin to teach you the better way to bring light into your spiritual eyes. I want you to allow us to fight the worst enemy with confidence and hope. I'm excited about Omega Radio and the radio station and about the book I wrote, because I know it will serve as a priceless component to any Christian who is desiring a deeper, more meaningful walk with Jesus Christ. Not only will you as a reader, if you buy the book, or if you want to send $20 to help us, I will send you the book as my heart's love and devotion. I want you, as the reader, to benefit from the precious wisdom of the teachings, these teachings, a light to become that light so you can shine forth in the darkness in this very evil day that we're in. I thank God for what he has given us. I thank God that he has downloaded us with his ability to see through discernment what is so needed for today. Think of our Lord. I never met anyone before who's so willing to give of themselves than those who have put their information on Omega Radio Station. They pour their heart out. And I know God has to be esteemed highly for the work that's being done. And I, for the love that he made it possible to set the captives free. Only the Holy Spirit could have done it. Years ago, we sat around our table and we walked with individuals through a brief history of their youth and their current family situations. And we were able to discern demonic influences that were a torment to them. After the discussion, we held our hands and earnestly prayed to the Father for all their needs, as well as the needs of family and friends of theirs, members. After prayer, we laid hands on their head and began calling out the specific devils that were causing the difficulties in their life. It was an unusual experience at first when we began this work, but then we saw the release and the cleansing that was taking place. For the first time in their life, they were able to truly do something to make a change for the better. And best of all, cared enough to be helped, but truly started to know how to help others. This was miraculous for my life. And I was thrilled and I was happy that God had called me for a time such as this to do this very work. When people are delivered, they feel like a new person. They feel free from entanglements of the evil influences that exist in the spiritual realm. And most importantly, they begin to receive knowledge that would help them to stay free. I tell you, body of Christ, it is the way to go. Please hear my plea and cry toward you. It isn't light. We know that Jesus Christ is able to do this in everyone who desires to be part of the work and the involvement of deliverance. It is imperative because he told us to set the captives drive to do what is right and to fulfill our calling. Again, if you are willing to get my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, to read it, to study it, and to listen on the program, you will see that God has represented himself in a manner that perhaps you weren't taught. Perhaps there was not an understanding by the work of the Holy Spirit of the depth of God has spoken to you through your pastor or minister. Maybe there needed to be a deeper teaching. And we're hoping to be that to you. We're wanting to be that to you. So God bless you. May this day be the first day of your life. Because, you know, in truth, in reality, it is the first day of your life in a new and living way. Till we see you again and talk to you in the spirit tomorrow. You are loved.
Ben, is Max upstairs?
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, let me just do this here.